Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Beautiful song, beautifully rendered. Thank you so much. And what we're all about in Unity, raising that veil, that blinder between us and the reality of who we are in truth. You know, Jesus had a number of secrets that he couldn't wait to share with people. You know, they were exciting. They were hidden in a way because you have to have spiritual discernment to understand what he's talking about. But he couldn't wait to share them because if we truly understand these secrets, they're going to transform our lives. They're going to rock everything. And I'm sure there's numerous secrets, but I want to focus on four of the main secrets that Jesus wanted to share with us. The first one is, inherently, life is joy, right? Jesus came to share that life is a joyous experience. We live in a universe of infinite possibility. It's a wondrous opportunity to be alive on planet Earth, right? To have this great, precious gift of life. So that's the first secret. Life is joy. The second secret is it's okay to have fun, right? It's okay to have fun. I mean, look at Jesus' first miracle. First miracle out of the box. What did he do? He turned water into wine. You know, he was having fun. Got his priorities straight. Point being, though, he was here to demonstrate an abundant life. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. So joy, fun. Also, the third secret is that life is multi-layered, right? It is not just black and white, them and us, right or wrong. It's multi-layered, and there's room for everyone. We can welcome and accept all people of all different cultural backgrounds, differences of opinion, whatever it might be. It's subtle. It's not limited to right and wrong. And then the fourth one is it's an inside job. He was always pointing to an interior awareness. Do not judge by appearances, what the superficial seems to say, look within. Now, this is totally opposite to the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees were those parts of ourselves, because in Unity, we don't like to say it's about somebody else. We like to point at parts of ourselves, right? Take it on board for ourselves. There's a part of ourselves that doesn't quite get that life is joy or fun or multi-layered or an inside job. We're taking everything so darn seriously. And the Pharisees took life very, very seriously indeed. Because, by the way, the word Pharisee means those who have separated themselves. Well, there's a problem right there, right? They've separated themselves off so because they're better than, they're special. So they were meant to be holy and get it right all the time. You know how much effort that takes to be holy and get it right all the time? Dang, that'll kill you right there, won't it? I mean, come on, take a load off. It's joyous, you know. We don't have to be darn serious about it. And they certainly weren't having fun. They had 647 laws to obey every day. 647. That would weigh you down, wouldn't it? Got to remember, I can't keep them all straight. Wait a minute. I thought I got, no, that's 600. No, dang it. I mean, go crazy trying to remember all those rules. I broke one right there, you know. And the thing about the rules is, you know, I got to do them right or I'm wrong. So it's my way or the highway, right? You didn't do it right, I'm going to condemn you. Well, that's no fun either. You know, there's got to be a higher way than that. It leads to a lack of acceptance of others, right? We're into the zone of judgment. And Unity and the way of Jesus, I believe, is not the zone of judgment. It's the zone of freedom, right? If we are joyous, fun, multi-layered beings, then we are embracing diversity, aren't we? We're embracing the differences rather than condemning the differences. That's hugely important. And the final thing about the Pharisees is they saw everything very literally, you know. If you're wearing a power suit, if you're doing the right thing, seeming to do the right thing, then you're fine. Doesn't matter what's inside, doesn't matter what your inner motive is. Whereas Jesus was all about your inner motives. What's really going on inside you? You know, where's your heart? Are you right with the Spirit within you? Because have you noticed this? If you are spending so much time in the exterior and letting yourself be negative and down inside, it doesn't matter what suit you're wearing, you don't look good. Whereas when you're right with yourself, when you remember I'm a being of love and possibility, then you begin to shine, right? No matter what you're wearing, yes? Because it's an inside job, and the Pharisees just couldn't go there with it. The Pharisees, you know, are not all bad, by the way. They're portrayed bad in the Gospels. And I could get into a whole other sermon talking about how they're not such a bad group of people because they led the way from the old temple worship to synagogue worship. They laid down the foundations for the Talmud and the Mishnah and all that. We don't want to get into that. For, as far as the Gospel writings are concerned, they represent that part of us that is always trying to separate, divide, limit, yeah? And we could say, can't we, on any week, man, I've had a whole week without being ticked off at somebody. Can't we say that? Probably not. So therefore, we've descended into a little bit of the Pharisaic consciousness. We've turned on the darn tube, and we've said a few rich things about it, haven't we? We've got into Pharisaic consciousness. We're not living as expansively as we can. Therefore, the invitation is to move from that limited way of seeing things into a larger awareness. Who was one of the greatest Pharisees in the New Testament? A guy we all know. He wrote many books and letters. Clue. Apostle Paul, right? Apostle Paul was a Pharisee before he became a born-again Christian. And, you know, we know the story. He was abusing the Christians, actually, because he felt so righteous as if in his Pharisaic scribe consciousness, and he fell off his high horse, right? That's when it all happened. He fell off his high horse, and I think this is symbolic for all of us. We have to fall off our horse of conceit, yes? Of thinking we are so great, so special, right? It's better than. And unfortunately, our country has got a lot of this right now, I think. And it's the idea that there's some people that know better than somebody else. Wrong, you know, we have to work together, don't we? We are a multi-layered, pluralistic society, and we have to come together. And I think it's the same in our consciousness. We have to work with all parts of who we are. We have to come off that high horse of judgment and conceit. What happened next after he fell off the horse? He was blinded, yeah? Because, you know, when something new happens for us, it's hard to see, isn't it? I'm confused. My old way of looking at it doesn't work anymore. I'm not quite acclimated to the new. See, I love what Rodney said earlier about those rules. And there is an age, isn't there? Is it the second or third grade when they start coming down? I don't know when it was, but I know they do. And he's absolutely right about we're self-policing in our rules, right? We don't need a police force to do it for us. We internalize it, and we become, I'm going to tell on you. How many times have you said that? You're not nice. I'm telling. But that's the Pharisaic consciousness that does a deal on others and also does a deal on ourselves. We are like a canary in a cage that the door is open, but we choose to stay inside because it's the cage that we know. Yeah, but the door is always open. We could fly out at any time. We can leave that cage of self-limitation of the rules. Now, I'm not an anti-rule, neither was Jesus, because Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the rules or the law. I came to fulfill, to see in them in a larger context, right? If I'm on the street, I stay on the right side of the road. Otherwise, I'm going to be hurt. But I'm not a slave to that. That is just a convenience while I'm on the road. But my soul is free, yes? My soul is limitless. Now, if you're in the cage, what happens? You become used to the cage itself, the bars. It's your frame of reference, literally, your frame of reference. When you exit from that limited space, it's very, oh, my God. I didn't realize all this was possible, and so we're blinded for a while. I don't even take it in, right? But after a while, we begin to regain our eyesight and our insight, and we begin to live more magnificent lives. Another Pharisee, let me read you the story of him, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is found in the third chapter of John. And Nicodemus was not just a Pharisee, He was a member of the Jewish council. So he's one of the power brokers, right? And it says, one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council, came to Jesus by night. Nick at night. Ooh, that's bad, isn't it? Yeah. It went down like a lead balloon at 9:30, and it's doing the same thing. Yeah. Okay, one of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council, came to Jesus by night. Now, why night? What's going on there? So no one would see him. He was a little afraid. He was ashamed. He was stepping out of the box, right? He was coming out of the cage. He was going to see Jesus. But he knew that Jesus had some understanding that was higher and more wonderful than the 647 rules that were like a burden upon the people. He came by night, and he says, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher sent by God. No one could perform these signs of yours unless God were with him. Jesus answered, in very truth I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he has been born again. Now, Jesus doesn't pussyfoot around. He drops the bomb right there, right? He says something so radical that blows Nicodemus out of the water. You must be born again. But how could someone be born when he's old, asked Nicodemus. Can he crawl into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Now, this is a Pharisaic way of thinking, very literal, isn't it? Literal-minded. Jesus answered, in very truth I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from water and spirit. Flesh can give birth only to flesh. It is spirit that gives birth to spirit. You ought not to be astonished when I say you must all be born again. So he's saying that there's the birth, the regular birth, but then there's the reconnecting with the divine, which is the spiritual birth, right? Which we understand that, yes, that's true. But when you're coming from a literal point of view, you can't understand these higher ways of living a more expansive and joyous life. Jesus tries to give him an image. He says, the wind blows what it wills. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born from the Spirit. How is this possible? Asked Nicodemus. And Jesus says, you, a teacher of Israel, and ignorant of such things? In very truth, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we've seen, and yet you all reject our testimony. If you do not believe me when I talk to you about earthly things, how are you to believe if I should talk about the things of heaven? I love that image of the wind, because in both Hebrew and in Greek, the word for wind or breath is the same word that's used for spirit. So it's a good word to describe the way that spirit works. You cannot pin it down, can you? What if you create a box of wind, what happens? It's just air, right? It's just hot air. It's not wind anymore. Wind has to be free. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. If you want to truly embody my teachings, be radically free, right? Enter into joy. Remember those four again? It's joy, it's fun, it's multi-layered. Don't judge it. It's too complex and wonderful and subtle for us to just say it's black and white. And it's an inside job, right? Enter into that awareness. And then he says these powerful words here that I love. He says, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you reject our testimony. This isn't about I heard it from somebody else. It's the law. That's the way we've always done it. This isn't about the tradition. This is about direct experience. Isn't that what we're asked to live from? A direct experience, and trust that. Folks, we've all had it, haven't we? We've all had those moments where we've connected with love. We've all had those moments of mystical awakening. We would not be in unity unless we did, yeah? But it's trusting and living from those moments, isn't it? From that awareness. Amen? It's living for and trusting the fact, yeah, I realize life is joy. It's incredibly precious. I'm going to live life to every iota and molecule of my being, right? Rather than ho-hum, whatever. It's the invitation to live life fully. Listen to these words. Everyone I come across in cages they bought. They think of me and my wandering, but I'm never what they thought. Got my indignation but I'm pure in all my thoughts. I'm alive. Wind in my hair, I feel part of everywhere. Underneath my being is a road that disappeared. Late at night, I hear the trees. They're singing with the dead overhead. Leave it to me as I find a way to be. Consider me a satellite forever orbiting. I know all the rules, but the rules do not know me. Guaranteed. That's Eddie Vedder from the soundtrack of the film Into the Wild and that beautiful song, Guaranteed. But isn't it perfect? It sums up the exact same things that we're saying today, right? Everyone I come across, we built some kind of a cage, yeah? Cage of conditioning. But the door is open to the cage. I don't have to go there again if I don't want to, right? I can see in a new way. I can come forth into the light. And I love the image there, wind in my hair. There it is again, the wind in my hair. I feel part of everywhere when we allow the movement of spirit to fill us, yes? And then those beautiful lines at the end, I know all the rules, but the rules do not know me. Why? Why is that true? The rules are about the outer, yes? They're to keep me safe, but they can also keep me so safe, I'm in a supermax prison of my own device. But they know nothing about my interior, which is all about the freedom of spirit, right? So I am not conditioned. There's a part of me that is always free. Yes, there's a part of each of us that is always radically and joyously free. And then when we realize that, we could start to have some fun, can't we? We can play, we can laugh, we can be buoyant. We can remember all the good that is in our lives every single moment instead of buying into the conditioning of the external world, the Pharisaic consciousness. Now, I thought I'd end my talk with the greatest rant of the Gospels. So if you're ready for a big rant, not from me, I'm just going to read this. I'm not ranting today. I'm just the messenger of the rant. But it's Matthew 23. And, you know, I think it was written way later because, you know, Matthew wrote it after the fall of Jerusalem when they destroyed the temple, and he was bemoaning the fact that all things had changed and there was a big battle between the upcoming Christians and the Jews who wanted to maintain the tradition. And so he was speaking against the Pharisaic consciousness. But I also see it as a rant, an educational rant for us to wake up to our own stupidity and come up into the light, yeah? So it's not to condemn anybody, it's to say, wow, I don't want to live in that limited, caged existence anymore, yeah? I want to really take this seriously and come forth into a light of new understanding. So here's the rant, folks. Jesus, are you ready? Okay. Promise never to do this one again. It's okay. It's like Revelation. You only do it once a year, you know, whatever. And we never do Leviticus, man. Never do. Never go there. That's just too scary. Maybe we should do a series on Leviticus, right? The metaphysics of Leviticus. I don't think we'd get through it, would we? No. Talk about rules. See, Leviticus is really the book of rules. It has so many laws, and a lot of them don't make sense anymore because most of us in here would be stoned right now. And I don't mean like that. I mean with rocks. Some of us are already, by the sound of it. This is unity, after all. Yeah. Some decorum, please. But if you're wearing a blend, you must be stoned, okay? Just saying. So I know I'm wearing a blend, probably, so that means I got to be killed, basically, for wearing a blend. Don't believe me? Look in Leviticus. I can't remember the exact verse, but it's in there. Likewise, if you're planning to go down a Red Lobster, you are an abomination. You will not survive. Don't eat those shrimp. Say in Leviticus. Just saying. This is where laws and rules can trip us up, folks. So we can't just take one or two out, can we, and say, oh, well, those people are being condemned. I better follow that. You better watch out for the Blands, okay? Watch out for the Blands. Jesus then addressed the crowds and his disciples in these words. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees occupy Moses' seat, so be careful to do whatever they tell you, but do not follow their practice, for they say one thing and do another. They make up heavy loads and pile them on the shoulders of others, but will not themselves lift a finger to ease the burden. Whatever they do is done for show. They go about wearing broad phylacteries and with large tassels on their robes. They love to have the place of honor at feasts and the chief seats in synagogues, to be greeted respectfully in the street and to be addressed as rabbi. But you must not be called rabbi, for you have one rabbi, the inner spirit, and we're all brothers and sisters. Do not call any man on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor must you be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Messiah, the Christ within. The greatest among you must be servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So what's it saying? Get off your high horse again, isn't it? Come on, come back into reality. There's nobody that's spatial here. We're all in this together. We are one in truth, yes? That's basically what it's saying. So then I asked myself, I grew up in an Episcopal church where the priest was called Father. Whoa. Okay, never mind. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You do not enter yourselves, and when others try to enter, you stop them. See, this is the supremacy of judgment over love, you know. When we judge others, what are we doing? Closing the doorway of heaven, aren't we, for ourselves and them? Because we're self-limiting our being here. But when we say, no, I accept love, unconditional love, then we're opening the door of heaven to all, yes? And in unity, we choose to do that. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, you travel over sea and land to win one convert, and when you've succeeded, you make them twice as fit for hell as you are yourselves. Sting. Alas for you, blind guides, you say, if someone swears by the sanctuary, that's nothing. But if he swears by the gold in the sanctuary, he's bound by his oath. Blind fools, which is the more important, the gold or the sanctuary which sanctifies the gold? In other words, the outer or the inner? Or if you say, someone swears by the altar, which is nothing. But if he swears by the offering that lies on the altar, he's bound by his oath. What blindness! Which is the more important, the offering or the altar which sanctifies it? To swear by the altar, then, is to swear both by the altar and by what lies on it. To swear by the sanctuary is to swear both by the sanctuary and by him who dwells there. And to swear by heaven is to swear both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. In other words, we live in a multi-layered world, right, where all are acceptable. That's my understanding of this. We are not to separate things that some are right and some are wrong, some are good and some are bad, right? We are all acceptable in God's dispensation. We are not called upon to judge, we're called upon to have joy. We're called upon to have fun, not to bemoan our fate. I know it's heavy stuff, and we don't have to get that serious about it, though. It's okay. Shall I go on? Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay tithes and mint and dill and cumin, but you have overlooked the weightier demands of the law, justice, mercy, and good faith. It is those you should have practiced without neglecting the others. Blind guides, you strain off a gnat and gulp down a camel. I like that one. Because sometimes, you know, we'll see the tiniest little fault in the ones we love, won't we? But we can continue our bad habits, and when they call us out on those bad habits, we are righteous against them. Have you ever done this? No, of course you haven't. I knew you didn't. Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you are like tombs covered with whitewash. They look fine on the outside, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and corruption. So it is with you. Outwardly you look like honest man, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And the invitation is get right in yourself, right? Get right in your inner self, in the inside job that you are, and not worry about it, what it looks like on the outside. And then he says finally, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city that murders the prophets and stones the messengers sent to her, how often have I longed to gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you would not let me. Look, there's a temple forsaken by God and laid waste. See, it was written after the fall of Jerusalem. I tell you, you will not see me until the time when you say, and here's the saving grace words that I love, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Instead of spending all our attention worrying about what's happening out there, we spend more time praising the coming of he who's coming in the name of the Lord, that presence of love that's deep within us, right? So this is how we go forward with our lives. This is how we go forward to bless everything that's happening in Iowa this week, for instance. Right? This is how we go forward to live successfully with our spouses, our partners, our friends. How we go forth to live in our workplace. We have this choice to embody those four great secrets or to fall back into that Pharisaic consciousness of separation and division. That's what they're all about. And they're not out there. They're in us, aren't they? They're alive and well. My wife just had some surgery for her nose because she had a little skin cancer. And that's why she's not here today. She's still resting. She's fine. It's all came out and everything's good. But she has to wear this huge wad that looks like a big piece of chewing gum on her nose, you know, for a week. And it's stitched in with 33 stitches or whatever it is. And you know, she can't wear makeup and she can't do this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's wonderful, though, because it's like, it's a case in point for me to not look at the outer, but to look at the beauty of who she is, right? And to say, yeah, you're beautiful, I love you. Not just because of what you look like on the outer, but, you know, and it is weird to have a big gob of chewing gum on your nose. But this is the work. It's been a joyous few days, you know, taking care of her and having a good time because you realize that's what we're called upon to do. And yeah, it's nice to look good too, you know. We're not going to wear that forever. But the point is there's more going on at any given time, right? There's that depth of understanding that penetrates into the heart of us that transforms everything. Quick pop quiz. What were the four we're going to take with us into our week? Life is joy. Have fun. We live in a multi-layered world, right? Quit judging and enjoy the difference. And then finally, remember, at all times, it's an inside job. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.